Hey, just left the store. I will be there shortly. Got something for you and the baby. So I will see you in a little bit. Yeah, put the beers in the freezer. And we'll have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on, I'm a little flat.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Success Road. I'm going to start an NES Success Radio. I'm going to have a great show today. So, lost track of time. That's all anybody who's on the line needs to worry about, lost track of time. But we're here, and we're going to have a great show. And I want to start it off with people doing these TikTok videos talking about they don't like Beyonce's new album, she should stay in her lane and not do country. And you want to know who's doing all these videos? There's white people doing all these videos that saying Beyonce shouldn't be doing a country album. I'm sorry to break the news to the white people, but Beyonce is not making the music for you. She's making the music for us. She's making it for us. She's not making it for you, she's making it for us and for those who are fans of her music. That is what she is doing. Because she has one more album that she's going to put out after this album. And everybody who's a fan of Beyonce is presuming that it's going to be a rock album because African Americans started country and we started rock. And the white people took over the genre and claimed it as theirs. And then when black people get into those spaces, we're not welcome in the spaces we created. So this is why Beyonce made the country album. It's because, to let you know, we started this and we're going to continue to be in this space. And since she's dropped two songs from the album, more black country artists are being listened to through streaming apps, Spotify, Apple, Tidal, wherever they have their music, a lot of black country artists are now being listened to because of Beyonce. So she's putting a spotlight on the genre that we started. And more people of color are being looked upon now in this genre. Because when she dropped Texas Hold'em and the radio stations wasn't playing it, and people would call in to request a song, they didn't, the DJ at the station said he didn't know that Beyonce had a country song. And that should tell you right there that he didn't, that should tell you right there that they don't play a lot of black country artists on their station. And one, you know, he's not into Beyonce. So he knows who Beyonce is, but that's not his cup of tea when it comes to music. So he's not going to know that she dropped the country album. He's not going to know that she dropped the country song. And, you know, my boy, my brother in Radio 6, you know, me and him are both music connoisseurs. So I want to get his opinion on this situation with Beyonce dropping country music and people telling her to stay in her lane. So, Six, what do you think about people telling Beyonce to stay in her lane and not do country?
Well, good evening, Road. Good evening, America. First off, music has no lane. An artist is not just to be stuck to one genre of music. Beyonce has range. She has versatility. She's versatile. She portrayed Etta James in Cadillac Records. She's an artist who can do different genres and fit in. Okay? So it's really not a lane that she stays in. She can drive in her own lane because she can afford the lane that she's in. She has the talent to be in that lane. You know, it's you know, Taylor Swift, don't take nothing away from Taylor Swift, but there's no lane in music. If the artist feels confident that he or she can do the genre, then it's an open lane. You know, it's not like it's a private highway. It's not like you're at a private airport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if she feels comfortable and tackling the genre of country, by all means. You know, but it's the consumer, and it's the consumer's narrow-minded of thinking, you know. And the sad part about it, it ties into racism. Because if you think back to Charlie Pride is an African-American country singer. Okay? You know, a lot of people didn't know that. But it's just the consumer still has a prejudiceness, you know, and that's the sad part about it. But, you know, this is the good thing that came out of COVID, because with COVID, everybody was on the same playing field, economically, social, physically, you know, everybody was on the same playing field. So the rug had some lumps in it. It wasn't just our rug lumpy. All the rugs were lumpy. Okay. But the beauty that came out of it was that we didn't stand our own little corners. You know, so it's kind of like this pandemic forced us to intermingle with each other, opposed to just coexisting. You know, because when you remember when we grew up, you know, and not my parents, not your parents, but the ones who were prejudiced, stay in your own race, stay within your own race, talk to your own way, socialize with your own race, you know, and that's what a lot of people did, you know. So when it comes to this music has no color. Music is music. It's the common of the soul. So, again, if Beyonce feels comfortable in that lane of the country, then by all means, she needs to travel that road. And from my understanding, she's doing quite well in it, you know. Again, no disrespect to Taylor Swift, but there's room out there. And with that, I'm complete.
So with her third song that she dropped from the album, she redid Dolly Parton's Jolene. And people are having a fit about that.
Well, you know what? So here's the thing. What you don't know is Beyonce and Dolly Parton are good friends. Okay? And that's Beyonce's way of paying homage to Dolly Parton, who was one of her heroes in country.
Now listen to this. So the song, Beyonce changed the lyrics a little bit. And Jolene, and Dolly Parton said she liked the way she went with the song. And guess
now,
what? Beyonce doesn't make not one red cent off of that song. Guess who gets all the proceeds from Jolene?
Who?
Dolly Parton. Even though she changed the lyrics to Jolene, all the credit and proceeds all the proceeds go to Dolly Parton. So any money made off the record Jolene is going to Dolly Parton, not to Beyonce.
But you know what? I mean, now, any other artist, they would be phased. But listen, Beyonce is what you call set, okay? Now, even though she did some changes to the song, Beyonce's not going to miss that money. I mean, she's not. And what's going to probably end up happening is Dolly Parton will donate the proceeds of that song in both their names. You understand what I'm saying? So that money, those proceeds are going to go to something good, be it to helping the homeless, be it to helping some children, be it to helping some just unfortunate people. So that money is going to be put to good use. So what I'm saying to you is Beyonce is at such a status that she can miss one proceeds of a song, okay, and not even hurt.
So also, so, Beyonce and Miley Cyrus are the only two that was able to remake Jolene by Dolly Parton. She approved both of them. And she, Dolly Parton is Miley Cyrus' godmother. So they the only two who got approval from Dolly to redo Jolene.
So it just goes to show you the respect that she has for Beyonce, and vice versa, Beyonce has respect for Dolly Parton. You see what I'm saying? It's not about the racism. You understand what I'm saying? You still got people that have their own prejudices. You know, they got their own prejudices, you know, for whatever reason. But music has no color. Music is the common of the soul. Music is healing. Music is powerful. You know, music can take you on a trip. Music can make you happy. When I think about Mom and Papa Six Eyes, music. You know, when I used to give my mother concerts, I miss that. I used to give my mother concerts, and she enjoyed it. You know, my father introduced me to music, you know. So it's just a beautiful thing. Your mom loved music, you know, and she loved reading books. I mean, your mother was the only lady I knew that had that many books, thousands of books. You know, your mother was an avid reader, you know, all those book cruises y'all went on. You know, so everybody has, you know, and your mother loved music too. So music brings people together. And that's all Beyonce is doing with this country album. You know,
and since you spoke of Taylor Swift started out in country, and then she switched to pop. But the people are mad at Beyonce from leaving the genre she was in.
Well, she
and
she
going
didn't
to
leave
country.
It. She well, here's the thing.
I know she didn't. We know she didn't leave it, but they are mad because she's in a genre that now is dominated by a bunch of white people. And when black people try to get into this space, they're not welcome. Even T-Pain said it. He experienced some racism, that he wrote a lot of country songs. And he said, being in Nashville, writing those country songs, he got a lot of racism. And he told them,
because,
you know what? Just send me my check. I don't do this no more. Just send me my check.
Right. And he did Tennessee Whiskey quite well. At the end of the day, you have to be a listener of music, a connoisseur. You know, and like I said, it doesn't matter. She's in the lane of country. She still has her lane in R&B. You know, and that's
Beyonce,
what it is.
Beyonce has done, basically, she's done R&B, she's done pop. The only genre she hasn't done a full album on is gospel, rock, and this Renaissance phase. It's supposed to be three albums to this Renaissance phase. The first one was like house music. The second one, because we started that too, and so she's reclaiming what we started. People really wasn't mad when she was in that genre, but they mad when she's in country. And they saying there's gonna be a third album, and the third album might be rock. Might be a rock album. So after this whirlwind of Cowboy Carter, we're going to get a rock album from Beyonce. And I think her last her, I think to end out her music career, I think her last and final album might be a gospel album. She might even do an opera album.
Clearly, at this point, it's definitely not about the money. It's about the love and giving what God gave her, giving her talents to the world. Because as we know, our gifts are not for us. It's for others. When we do radio, it's not our gifts for us. It's our gifts for others. It's our gifts to the world, you know, so the world benefits. You know, and the same thing with her. It's about her sharing her gifts with the world. And again, you know, you're going to have some haters. But, I mean, hey, the old saying, it makes the world go round.
But listen to this. I think it was either early 2000s or late 90s. Sugarland, the country group Sugarland, redid her song Irreplaceable, and they sung it on the Country Awards with her. I think she was there. I seen it. I watched the CMAs, and they sang that song Irreplaceable. I'm trying to remember if Beyonce was on stage with them, but they did do that song. Now, that's an R&B song. A country group called Sugarland redid that song. I don't know if they just did it for the awards, but they redid that song, Irreplaceable, and made it country.
I remember that.
So in this case, we should be mad that Sugarland did Irreplaceable. We should be saying, we're not like that, like the people are about Beyonce, but I'm just saying, we should be feeling the same way and telling Sugarland to stay in their lane that Irreplaceable is an R&B song and it's our song. You can't sing that song. Ne-Yo wrote that song. Even though Beyonce's singing it, Ne-Yo wrote it. And it doesn't matter what genre you put Irreplaceable in, it doesn't matter. It's still a good song. No matter what genre you listen to it, if somebody did a rock version, it's still a good song. If somebody did a country version, a Latin version, it's still a good song. And everybody is going to enjoy whichever genre the song is in, everybody is going to enjoy that song. And this is what Beyonce is doing with this country album. If she's making it to where we, as black people, because, you know, we don't listen to country. Well, they think black people don't listen to country, but we do.
Right.
So she's making it she's making country more palatable for us. It's not to please the white people. It's for us, to make it more palatable for us, so that if we go on a streaming site, we can go look up other black country artists or country artists in general and listen to them. I listen to country now more than I do R&B and other genres of music that I've always listened to. Like, I'll play my Spotify a list of songs that I like, and I will listen to that, and then I will switch over and listen to country. There's a lot of country artists that got some great songs that I'm not thinking about, oh, because he's white and it's country, I should be. No, good music is good music, no matter what genre it's in and who's singing it. As long as they got a good voice, it's good music. Because
right.
if you didn't know by the sound of the person's voice singing that song that they were black, you would be jamming that song and having it on repeat because it's that good.
Well, I'm gonna tell you some artists. Gino Vanelli. If you didn't know Gino Vanelli, you would thought he was a soul brother.
Right.
If you didn't know Bobby Caldwell, if you didn't know Bobby Caldwell, same thing. And the crazy thing about him is when he first came to Cleveland and they had him, and didn't nobody know who Bobby Caldwell was. He came with Grover Washington Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And Grover Washington Jr. finished his set, and it's like, all right, up next, this song has been burning up the airwaves. And when Bobby Caldwell came out there, because they had the music playing first before he hit the stage, and when he hit that stage, it was like, this long-haired, he's singing this song? You know? And it started from there. And that's where the term blue-eyed soul came from. Even with Tina Marie, blue-eyed soul. You know? What is his name? McDonald, Michael McDonald. Even Michael McDonald is soulful.
Yep.
You know? So at the end of the day, it's all about the listener. It's all about their perception, their how they perceive the artist.
Because even, what's his name? That's the Bob Skaggs, who sings
Bob
Blowdown?
Skaggs. Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't know he was white.
Right.
If you listen to Lowdown, you wouldn't. He has that Aaron Neville type of voice. Like his, he got that Aaron Neville type of voice.
Uh-huh.
And so when you listen to it, you wouldn't have known he was white until you saw his picture.
Even playing.
See, when
baby,
you're listening
back
to music, you don't know what these artists look like. All you hear is somebody mention a name and the name of a song. And if you hear it and you go look it up, if you're on any streaming service like Apple, Spotify, you go look it up. 9 out of 10, there's no picture attached to the name of the song when you go look it up. It's just the name of the artist and the name of the song.
And you know what Bobby Caldwell did? His first
album. He didn't put his picture. He didn't put no picture of himself.
Nah, it wasn't no picture up there. And then his next couple of albums, he put a picture up there. But if I'm not mistaken, I think it was just a plain album cover, or it was a picture of an orange. It was something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't a picture of him. Because he said he wanted his music to speak for itself. He didn't want his music to be of a color.
Right.
He said,
yeah.
Music is music. You know? And
when
music is music.
Mm-hmm. Because when he passed away, I think it was a YouTube video I saw where the person, they was explaining it. Explaining when he came up with the song. And he said, no, I want to, he was at the park. He sat in the park bench, and I think it was a picture of a bench or something, for that song. I think it was a picture of a bench or something. And he was like, that's the picture. He didn't want to put his face.
Uh-huh.
And R&B stations were playing that song. And everybody was thinking he was black until I think he did. I'm not sure if he did the Apollo when they used to do Showtime at the Apollo on TV. I think he did the Apollo. He did something and people saw him and were shocked because they thought he was black and come to find out some curly haired white man.
Uh-huh.
A long curly haired white man.
Yeah.
And look at Elvis. All those songs Elvis sang weren't even his songs. They were not written for him. Those were songs that black artists created, and because of the segregation that was going on, white record labels would take black artists' music and give it to their white artists to perform. So a lot of the songs you hear from Elvis is not originally his music. It is a black artist's song. Hound Dog, the lady's name is not coming to me, but it's a black lady whose song is Hound Dog that Elvis took and made a hit.
Mm-hmm. The architect of rock and roll, Little Richard, was cheated. He never got his just due.
Yes, Uncle Richard deserves his flowers. He should have got them a long time ago.
Yeah.
But listen to this. There's a video I saw on TikTok I can't remember what the man's name is, but it's a black artist who Elvis stole his exact vocal style from. The way Elvis sing, he stole that vocal style from a black artist. He didn't take his songs. I don't think he took his song, but his vocal style, if you listen to this man sing, you're like, yep, that's Elvis. But, you know, white people is going to say, Elvis did it first. No, he did it first. Elvis heard him and copied his style and made it more popular than it's ever been. And it's crazy how, you know, when we do something and they don't like that we did it, and then when we tell you, go through the history, and when they go through the history, they go, oh, shoot. Like the banjo. The banjo is considered a country instrument. But what they don't know is that we created the banjo when the slaves were brought from Africa to over here. They had an instrument that they used to play in Africa that looks just like the banjo. Right? You know, when you take someone take you from your culture, your world, you know, you leave things behind, and that's one of the things they had left behind was this thing that looked like the banjo. And what they did is, you know, from memory, they recreated it, and that's how we got the banjo. From an African instrument, that's how we got the banjo. But leave it to white people, they created the banjo when they didn't. A lot of this stuff that white people are claiming is theirs, we have created, and they don't want to accept that we created it. And that's the sad part. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the sad part. But Beyonce's album is doing very well, and that's a great thing. And I love that I love all different genres of music, that I'm not stuck on just one genre, that I open my mind up to other genres. Not every artist in that genre is going to be good, but there are those that are, and that I'm going to support them and listen to their music. If you're a person who loves music, you should go check out other genres of music, because you never know what you're going to like. There are many people saying, you know what? I never listened to country, but since Beyonce dropped this country album, I'm now listening to country and checking out other country artists. And that was one of Beyonce's purposes of making this album, is broadening people's minds and have them listen to other genres. Because she can sing opera.
Okay.
There is a recording of Beyonce singing an opera song, an aria. We don't call Italians call it aria. It's called Caro Mio Ben. It's an operatic song, but it's an Italian opera song, and there's a recording of Beyonce singing it. And on TikTok, there's videos of Italians listening to her sing that song, and they're surprised that she can hit those notes. They're singing opera ain't easy, and they're surprised that Beyonce can hit those notes. Who knows, she may do an opera album and sing different opera songs. And when she does that, now us as black people are going to be more getting into opera, when we were into opera, but not like that. I think Beyonce is getting people into genres of music they would never on a daily basis listen to. And that's a good thing, because we need to expand our musical palette.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
also,
you're tuned in to Six in a Row here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Road to Stardom Network. We're here every Tuesday, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Six in a Row, 515. Oops, wrong station.
So
424-243-9617.
So we're going to stick into talking about in the music category of our topic tonight, because now we're going to switch from Beyonce, we're going to talk about J-Lo.
Well, before we do that, did you partake in the solar eclipse yesterday?
No, I did not.
Okay, neither did I. From my understanding, it was very beautiful. And it was our hope, because we said it on both stations. Please, if you're going to partake in the solar eclipse event, please make sure you have solar eclipse issued approved glasses. Now, you know, it was some people, I ain't about to spend no money on no glasses. I got some sun. Yeah, go in that drawer and get those sunglasses out of there. Get those sunglasses out of there, and that's good enough. Now, you know some people did that. You know they did. And, you know, it's some
you
people
sound like
some
old
eyes.
Man stuck in his ways. You sounded like some old man stuck in his ways and went and looked at the sun and burned his damn eyes.
Yeah.
When they tell you it's a solar eclipse, you cannot go watch it with your bare eyes. Because the sun is so bright, it can burn your eyes. Think they created glasses with UV rays and all that stuff, because the sun can mess up your eyes. Yes, we get vitamin D from the sun, but it still can mess up your eyes. It can mess up your skin. This is why people get skin cancer. And they tell you to protect your skin by putting on UV sunscreen. It's to protect you from the ray of the sun. Do you know how hot the sun is?
Very.
You just like if you cooking something in the oven at 350, that's hot. Just imagine putting your eyes in there.
And I am actually. I'm actually cooking something in the oven at 350.
Just imagine putting your eyes close to the heat of the oven.
Yeah.
You burn your face. So the same thing. That's why I tell you to wear protective glasses when watching the solar eclipse, because you can burn your eyes.
Huh?
All right. Well, I think Nikhil is joining us. All righty. Hey, Nikhil.
I'm sorry. Hey, guys. How are you?
Fine.
All right. Welcome to Sit the Road.
Hey.
Yeah,
all right, for those of you who decided to play it safe, and did not get a chance to see the solar eclipse. I did post some pictures on my page.
I don't know what time it happened, but yesterday I was at the supermarket. So if it happened at the time I was at the supermarket, I definitely wouldn't have seen it.
Well, I had therapy, so actually my therapist had somebody send pictures to them, and that had, like, the right lenses to take pictures with it. And so he got some really good
pictures. Well, a lot of people messed their cell phones up, though. A lot of people messed their cell phones up trying to take a picture.
Have you heard of anybody that messed up their cell phones?
Go on YouTube. You'll see it. And they, you know, Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, they're not honoring anything because apparently they put a disclaimer out on not using their phones to capture the solar eclipse. They said leave it up to the professionals. So it's a lot of people with messed up warped phones.
Because photographers have zoom lens. So in my window with a zoom lens, I can zoom so I can see it. I'm not near it. I can zoom to see it. And that's the thing. Phones don't have zoom lens like a camera does.
No, it doesn't.
And so
now,
people don't understand how hot it is.
So here's the thing. Now, I had a friend, rest his soul, Simon. Simon was the first. That was the first iPhone that I saw in person. I said, what kind of goofy phone is this? Oh, it's an iPhone. Okay, so that's the first time I saw it. But he had the little, like, zoom lens and that attached to the back of the phone where the camera goes and all that. That's the first time I saw that. That was pretty slick. And they say just holding your phone up toward the sun, and it hit those two circles on that on the back of that camera. That's what got damaged. Cameras got damaged. So it's like when they get ready to take a picture, it's just like it's black, just like a nothing. So you gonna hold the concert, or are we gonna do the show? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
But you were just humming a song. So what song was that?
I'm listening to you, but the song just popped in my head.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, cool. But, yeah. So it was pretty cool. So the next solar eclipse is 20 years from now, so that's 2048. So 2048, you'll be 32 years old, and I'll be 37.
Who's going to be 32?
You will.
I wish.
Well, I'll be 37. So I'm
you wish,
I'm
too.
Forward.
You need it. That. You need to start dreaming on that one.
Hello? Hello? Looking forward to that.
That. If that's the case, that means you're only 17 now?
Well, you know, and it's
minus,
cool, you know.
Minus five?
No, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. You know, I got a little mustache coming in. You know, my little beard is you know, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's doing all that moving around?
So, the next topic that we're going to discuss, we're still in music, but we're going to talk about J-Lo.
J-Lo.
They are dragging her through the mud. And because remember J-Lo's first album with the song Jenny from the Block, the song she did with Ja Rule, I'm Real. And I think she did a song with LL, if I'm not sure. Well, her background vocals are not her own. They are somebody else's. So you know, Six, because you are a music, you are a producer, so you know if the artist didn't write this song themselves, they are sent over a demo track for them to learn the song, and then they record it in their own voice. And that album, the background vocals on the songs of Jennifer Lopez's first album is either the first or second album. The first album is not hers. So the song she did with Ja Rule, Irv Gotti had that song. Ashanti said she wanted it. Ashanti recorded that song. They took the song from Ashanti and gave it to J-Lo. What they left Ashanti's vocals on there in the background. So when you listen to the song and you're hearing the chorus part, you're not hearing J-Lo, you're hearing Ashanti. And all this time, we liking the song, we're thinking it's all J-Lo. No, it's J-Lo and Ashanti because they kept her vocals on the background. The song Jenny from the Block. There's a girl on TikTok who's the one who did the demo vocal for that song. She tells her story of how she recorded that song for J-Lo. And somehow her vocal, what she thinks they did was they had J-Lo sing it, but they lowered J-Lo's voice and left her voice on. So you're thinking it's J-Lo singing it. She said, no, that's her. And she said the producer who created that song, I don't know if he wrote the lyrics, but he created the music to the song. He said to her in the studio, because she was just her and the engineer, she said, just her and the engineer. They were recording that song because she was making a demo track for J-Lo. The producer came in and said to her, give me a kiss. And she was like, she was telling him no. And he kept persisting for her to give him a kiss. And he was like, nah. And so she went in and gave him like a peck type of kiss. He's like, nah, I want tongue. And when she didn't do that, he told, because he promised her if she do this, he'll give her a record deal. He told her they were doing a life story on J-Lo, and they would have her play the part of J-Lo in this life story. He was promising her all this stuff, and it didn't happen. She said she never got, she think that the producer blackballed her from ever getting a record deal. And she can really sing. And so people were asking her, okay, if that's you, sing the part. And she sang it, and it sounded just like the record. It didn't sound like J-Lo's voice. It sounded just like the record. So they were using her vocals and passing it off as J-Lo's. And she said she don't know if J-Lo knew this is what went down. And she said she hopes she doesn't. She hoped that she didn't know. Because if J-Lo knew and she left it slide like that. And the girl said she didn't really get paid for doing. She said she did about 4 or 5 tracks for J-Lo's album. And she got no credit, no compensation, nothing. And J-Lo's album wound up coming successful with her voice on it. And if you ever, like, hear them talk about, if you remember, like, years back when, I think it was Entertainment News, asked Mariah, was talking to Mariah, and they asked Mariah if she knew J-Lo. It was like, I know her. And it became a big thing. Mariah felt some kind of way towards J-Lo because when Mariah was married to Tommy Mottola and they were going through their issues, there was a song that Mariah had. They paid for they got clearance on the song. Mariah cut it and Tommy Mottola shelved it. And took it and gave it to J-Lo. When they were going through their problems and they were getting a divorce, Tommy and Mariah wanted out of her Sony contract. He shelved Mariah's version of the song and gave J-Lo the song to put out, knowing she can't really sing. And Tommy Mottola used J-Lo as a pawn to get back at Mariah. I think the song that said was Lover Boy that Mariah had did, that Tommy Mottola shelved and then gave it to J-Lo. Yep. And I already knew J-Lo can't really sing. I didn't peg her as a singer because she came up as a dancer. So I didn't peg her as a singer, but then she's dropping music. And I think Tommy Mottola made Jennifer Lopez an artist to get back at Mariah and say, I can make, kind of saying like, I can make another you. I mean, because look at his wife, Thalia. I think she's Puerto Rican. I'm not sure. At the same time, right after him being with Mariah, he got with Thalia. He tried to make Thalia like the Latin version of Mariah. And that didn't work out because she hasn't made music in a long time. But he tried to make J-Lo the next Mariah, and it didn't work out. And J-Lo just kept making music, knowing she really can't sing. She just kept making music. She even, I think like a few years ago, she put out a Latin album. She was taking singing, because remember, was it the Grammys? I think it was I forgot which award show was it. Was it the Grammys or the Billboard? One of them had her doing a Michael Jackson tribute because she can dance. And now that she's supposedly a singer, they were having her do a Michael Jackson tribute. Like, it don't make no sense. I get it that J-Lo's a good dancer. I wouldn't take that from her. J-Lo's a good dancer. But I wouldn't give her no Michael Jackson music to do a tribute. That's not who I'm picking for no tribute to Michael. I was like, this is disrespectful. So, yeah. People are mad because she knew, J-Lo knows she can't sing, but she got this illustrious singing career, and she's using other people's vocals. They're dropping down her vocals and letting the other people's vocals shine. And this girl can really sing, and she would have had an illustrious career if that producer wouldn't have did that. And she named who the producer was, Corey something. His last name is with an R. I don't know if it's Corey Rodney or something like that, but she named the producer who shelved her, but used her vocals to help J-Lo, because she sounded good singing Jenny from the Block. That could have, even though she's not Jenny, even though her name ain't Jenny, but they shelved her. You know, when you get blackballed in this industry, they make sure people know who you are and that they don't work with you. Because they're going to make up a story saying it's difficult to work with, you know, and nobody wants that headache with somebody who's difficult to work with. But, and if J-Lo, people say they're not sure if they knew J-Lo was, if she knew that she was being used as a pawn to get back at Mariah, and if she did know, that's messed up. If she did know, that was messed up. So now, when J-Lo drops any new music, people gonna listen to it differently, and to make sure that's her vocals. Cause I seen her with Steve Mackey, who's a vocal coach. So I've seen her with him practicing, but that don't mean nothing. I don't care if you got a vocal coach to Jesus. I don't think it can help her get any better vocally. Yeah. Whew. And you know, like, weeks have passed since the Diddy situation, and now also has come out on his son, his youngest son Christian. Has got a lawsuit because the girl who worked for the company who owned the yacht, because Diddy rented a yacht, and, you know, and they were in, I think she said, the Bahamas. Diddy rented a yacht, and so on the yacht he had a studio on the yacht, and so Christian went on him and Justin were on the yacht. But the girl said that, you know, he came on with some alcohol. He was offering these girls alcohol. She said, you know, he was saying he needed a place to sleep. And they had the theater room. It also can be used as a place to have people sleep. So she took him over there, and then where he sexually assaulted her. And it was caught on camera. I mean, they have audio of what went down. I don't know if the actual act was caught on camera, but they have audio of what went down. And so she filed a lawsuit. And what's crazy is the producer that filed a lawsuit on Diddy, his attorney is her attorney. The same attorney for the producer that filed a lawsuit on Diddy, because he's mentioned in the girl's lawsuit saying that he was there. Yep. So this is, you know, this is crazy. You got J-Lo, who using other people's vocals in her music career. You got now Diddy's son, who's also an artist, being sued for sexual assault. You got Diddy, who's a mogul slash artist, being sued. You know, we got people spewing nonsense towards Beyonce because she did a country album.
You better get your...
It's like crazy. It's craziness going all around when it comes to the industry right now. There's nothing but craziness going around when it comes to the industry right now. And my thing with J-Lo is, if she knows that her vocals is not really all over the songs that girl sang for her, and she knew, she should have said, nah, I can't do this. I can't take somebody else's vocals and pretend that it's mine. Just to have a music career. I can't do that. Even the one that has Ashanti's vocals on it, she should have said something. She know that ain't her vocals. And I'm sure the producer, whoever the producer was, they could have said, look, we're using these vocals because you ain't really got it there vocally, and this person, these vocals will help propel your music career, and she probably went along with it.
Well, since we're talking about songs, the Rick Rick song, I'm On There. You know, they got my vocals turned down so low, you never know it. You know.
So you on the Rick Rick song?
Yeah, do you have that song? Is it on the board?
Rick, grab your ass.
Yeah, is that on the board? Can we play that? I ain't heard that in a minute.
You really want people to hear that song?
Yeah.
I think that's one I haven't heard.
All right. Let me pull it up. Everybody, you about to experience Six's production. Okay, let's refresh, because I have to refresh it for it to play. Let's go. And when did you, tell the people when you made this song, Six.
All right, this song was in 2016. The Rick Rick out of New York, Ricky Rick Harton. Let's go.
1 second, I had to refresh. And why did you make this song?
It was a song he wanted to make, so we made it.
Here we go.
Smack it and flip it and rub it down. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Smack it and flip it and rub it down. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Smack it and flip it and rub it down. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick.
Everybody love the Rick Rick. Everybody love the Rick Rick. Make a girl love the Rick Rick. Make a girl love the Rick Rick. Let Rick Rick grab your ass. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Word. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Word. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick. Word. Let Rick Rick grab your ass. Let Rick Rick grab your ass. I'm hungry. Give me some motherfucking hot wings. A beer. And I say, good night, my dear. The Rick Rick loves ya. Y'all can't fuck with the Rick Rick.
And for the ladies, let Rick Rick grab your ass. All the ladies stand in line. And let Rick Rick grab your ass. Shout out for Six Signs Music Productions and Six Signs Radio. Word. And the producer, good looking Six.
Okay. That was Rick Rick with that Rick Rick grab your ass.
Well, sis. Where are you? I guess he can't do no productions without interruptions.
Yep.
Shout out to the Rick Rick. The Rick Rick. Ricky Rick Harden. What up, boy? We got to get back in there. Got to get back in there. Oh, yeah. And heard that song in a minute.
Because it's not even on your board. You didn't even put it on your board.
Oh. Oh, that's why. Okay.
So, we heard that song by Rick Rick. Let Rick Rick grab your ass. And we're going to get into some sports. We want to say congratulations to the South Carolina Gamecocks and Dawn Stanley for winning the Final Four. Yep. The South Carolina Gamecocks are the NCAA national champions. They played against Iowa. And I want to say congratulations to Connecticut, the men's team. They won against Purdue. So Connecticut men's is the NCAA men's national champion. And South Carolina women's team is the national champions in women's basketball, college basketball. So I want to say congratulations to them. The men's game was last night. The women's game was Sunday. So when it came down to the Final Four, we had UConn, which is the men's team, and Purdue, against Alabama. And then we had Purdue against NC State. On the women's side, we had Iowa played against Connecticut, the women's team, and South Carolina played against NC State, the women's team. And they beat, South Carolina beat NC State. Iowa beat UConn women's team. We could have won, my girls could have won. My girls could have won if they wasn't busy fouling, so doing so much fouling and all that stuff. They could have won that. And it would have been UConn men's team and UConn women's team in the final game. UConn would have been going against South Carolina, and the UConn men would have been going against the Purdue. And to get to where they at, Iowa beat LSU, which LSU won last year, and they beat LSU in the final game last year. It was LSU and Iowa, and LSU beat Iowa to win the national championship. And to get to the national championship, they repeated last year, and LSU couldn't pull her out, and Iowa pulled her out thanks to Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin Clark played UConn. Iowa played UConn, and thanks to Caitlin Clark, pulled out the win for Iowa. Because Connecticut could have had that game I watched that game. They could have had that game. So congrats to the men's and women's double NCAA national champion team, South Carolina Gamecocks, and University of Connecticut Huskies. Yep. So in other sports news, we got the play-ins coming up, not the playoffs in the NBA, the play-in. And these teams that are in the play-in are the Lakers, the Warriors, I think the Rockets. It's one more team that's skipping my mind. But this is for a spot. Play-in, any of the teams that are in the play-in are vying for a spot in the playoffs. So they have to beat the teams that are in the play-in in order to get a spot in the playoffs. And so, like I said, we got the Lakers, we got the Warriors, Sacramento, and I think the Rockets, I'm not sure. And the last spot is the Warriors. They're in 10th place. I think one above them is the Lakers, or two above them is the Lakers. I think Sacramento might be right above them. And so I think either sometime this week or next week starts to play in, and we shall see out of those four teams who's going to make it into the playoffs, and then the playoffs will happen. And then we'll have the finals. See who won the NBA National Championship. And then that's it for basketball. And then the WNBA will be starting. Once the NBA finishes, the WNBA will be starting. And speaking of the WNBA, I think this Wednesday, either tomorrow or Thursday, or next week is the women's WNBA draft. So we got Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese from South Carolina. We got Cardoza, who just won the championship. She's going into the WNBA. Then her name is Camila Cardoza. She's going into the WNBA with a win under her belt. Kayla Clark is his first draft pick, so she's number one in the draft. So she might be going to the Indiana Fever of the WNBA has first choice, so she may be going to play for the Indiana Fever. She may be going to the Indiana Fever. And, but Kayla Clark did get an offer from IQ of $5 million to play for the Big Three. Now, that would be a good look for the Big Three, but she would be the only woman against all those men in the Big Three. What Ice Cube should do is create a women's Big Three, because the Big Three is former NBA players playing in the Big Three. So I think he should create a women's division of the Big Three and get former WNBA players who still can play ball to be part of the Big Three. This is what I'm thinking he should do, because to want to pay her $5 million just to be part of the Big Three, I don't think it's a good look for her. I don't think she's going to accept it, because she's going to be the only female playing against all these former NBA players. Yep. So if it, and you know, they used to playing rough basketball, and she's not used to that. So, but that was a good thought, Ice Cube. People were saying she should take it, and she would still have time to play in the WNBA. Yep, that she would still have time to play in the WNBA. But, you know, that's her decision to make. You know, that's her decision to make. So, Six, you ready for that trivia?
He said give him five minutes. Okay.
All right. So, y'all, we're going to, in 5 minutes, we're going to be doing some trivia with Six as always. And we're going to see how good Six do this time. Last week was terrible. I already got the trivia questions ready. Yep. He was terrible. I think he got like, I think we did like 8 or 9 questions, and out of the 8 or 9 questions, I think he got like maybe 2 or 3 right. Let me get this first question ready so when Six is ready. Oh, this is the first question is a sports question. And Six ain't that good at sports, so on sports knowledge. He don't watch sports. Yep, he don't watch sports, so we shall see how good he do with this first question. Back on tonight with the Indie Experience, giving nothing but the best in indie music. And if there's any music you hear that you like, you can always hit me up on the Rolling Stone Radio page on Facebook, on Rolling Stone page on Facebook, and say it was a song you played, because I play by genre, and I play different artists in that genre, so I might go R&B and play a whole bunch of different R&B artists. I may not mention all the artists' names. So if there is a song that I may have mentioned the name of, if I didn't, of the song, you can always Shazam on your iPhone. There's a Shazam on your iPhone. If you scroll your thing up, and where you see Bluetooth, you can mirror your phone to the TV. Well, at the bottom, there's an icon, a Shazam icon. You just click on it while you listen to the music, and Shazam will look it up. And if it's an artist that Shazam don't know, then you can, like I said, you can always hit me up on the Shazam page on Facebook, or the World of Starting Radio page on Facebook, and say, there's a song you played, and I will look it up and tell you who the artist was, because a lot of times, artists send me music that they haven't dropped yet, so it may not be on a streaming platform yet. So if I'm playing a song that's not on a streaming platform yet, I definitely will let y'all know that. So just in case you like the song, because I don't want you to go searching for the song and you can't find it because the artists themselves didn't put it up on the streaming platform. And there's a new thing that artists are doing, independent artists are doing, is they're creating their own streaming system. So on their website, they're putting their music up there, and then you go to their website to listen and to be able to download whatever song you like off their album. So artists are doing that, going that route now, instead of putting it up on Spotify and Apple Music, because when you stream their music, they are not making a lot of money off of you streaming their music. They're not making a lot of money off. So that's why they send you over to their website and you can stream it from there and listen. And if you like what you hear, you can download it from there. So, Six, you ready?
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Here's the first one. The first one's a sports question. I want to see how good you do with this one. Which Major League Baseball pitcher has the most career strikeouts? Is it Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, Cy Young, Randy Johnson? Which Major League Baseball pitcher has the most career strikeouts? Is it Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, Cy Young, Randy Johnson?
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan.
Let's go. Let's go.
And the correct answer is... You are correct. It is Nolan Ryan. Since Hall of Fame
pitcher,
Nolan Ryan holds the record for the most career strikeouts in Major League Baseball.
Go for this April 9th, 2024, sixth in a row. Let's go.
Ryan, it says, throughout his career, spanning an impressive 27 seasons, Ryan amassed a staggering 5,714 strikeouts. Ryan pitched in four decades, debuting as a 19-year-old for the Mets in 1966 and concluding as a 46-year-old veteran with the Texas Rangers in 1993. Beyond his career strikeout record, Ryan boasts several other extraordinary feats, including the most no-hitters of all time, seven, and the most record for the most strikeouts in a single season, 383. So you're starting off good.
Right.
You got one so far.
Yeah.
Let's go.
One. Very good.
Let's go.
Let's see if we can keep it going. Here's the next question. The asteroid that killed the dinosaur is believed to have landed where? The asteroid that killed the dinosaurs is believed to have landed where? Antarctica, Yucatan Peninsula, Sahara Desert, Pacific Ocean. The asteroid that killed the dinosaurs is believed to have landed where? Antarctica, Yucatan Peninsula, Sahara Desert, Pacific Ocean.
What is the Pacific Ocean? Come here, Trump. Come here, buddy.
Think about that question.
You're one for one. You're one for one. And the answer is, it says approximately 66 million years ago, a giant asteroid measuring 6 miles in diameter and traveling an estimated 43,000 miles per hour through space slammed into what is now the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. The momentous event set off a chain of reaction of environmental chaos, unleashing ferocious wildfires, towering tsunamis, and a prolonged period of darkness. known as the impact winter, the collision proceeded. The collision produced an enormous crater measuring 125 miles in width, 24 miles
wow.
in depth, and resulted in the eradication of nearly 70% of all life forms on Earth.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I got to jump in. Okay, six. Where did the dinosaurs live?
What?
Where did
She's
the
got
dinosaurs
her own trivia
live?
Question for you.
What? They lived on Earth.
They didn't live in the ocean. You said that the
oh,
answer
God.
Was.
Oh wow! Wow! Wow!
You were thinking it had to be land. They didn't live in water.
Yeah. Wow. Hmm. Okay.
Here's the next one. So you're one for one. Here's the next question. At what age does a young woman celebrate her quinceañera? At what age does a
ah.
I know this. At what age does a woman celebrate her quinceañera? Is it 13, 15, 16?
Well, so the boys have a bar mitzvah.
This is not a Jewish thing. I said quinceañera. It's a Latin thing. It's not a
it's not
a Jewish
Latin.
Thing.
Oh,
and
so
the answer
well,
is
they,
in the name. The answer is in the name.
Say it again. What is it called?
At what age does a young woman celebrate her quinceañera?
Oh,
you got
15.
13, 15. What you say?
15.
I want to say, boy, if you get this wrong, and the answer is in the name. That is correct. It is 15.
Let's go.
So
go.
You're two for one. It says the quinceañera is a celebration of a girl's 15th birthday that is common in Mexican and other Latin, Spanish, American cultures.
Yeah.
The world is a combination of the Spanish word quince, which is 15, and años, which is year. Widely celebrated among Latinos, the quinceañera marks an important milestone in a girl's life, part birthday party, part rite of passage. It symbolizes a girl's entrance into womanhood through the exact history of the quinceañera in Mexico as early as the 5th century B.C.
Yeah, I knew it as a Spanish thing because I know my mom had made dresses for girls for their quinceañera. And then my godbrother married a Mexican woman. Whose sister was having one, so.
They're still married to this day. Let's
so
go.
You're two,
Let's go.
You're
Let's
two
go.
For one. Here's the next
Let's
one.
Go. Let's go.
Oh, this one is a history question. Which U.S. president appears as a character in the musical Annie? Which U.S. president appears as a character and the musical Annie? Is it John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, Herbert Hoover, Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
What is Roosevelt? Let's go. Let's go.
Well, okay, you got that.
Let's
so you're
go.
Three. You're three for
Let's
one.
Let's go. Let's go.
It says the musical Annie unfolds against the backdrop of Depression era. New York City, Oliver Daddy Warbucks, a wealthy industrial travels to Washington to meet President Franklin D. Roosevelt. In his capacity as President Roosevelt aids Warbucks in the search for Annie's parents while seeking Warbucks' support for the ambitious New Deal, a plan Warbucks initially dismisses as pre-pretentious. Annie ultimately inspires Roosevelt and Daddy Warbucks to embrace the vision of the New Deal by serenading them with the uplifting anthem Tomorrow. Three for one. Let's see. Here's the next one. Okay, this is a game question. This is a gaming question.
Gaming question, okay.
In the original version of Trivial Pursuit, which category is represented by the color green? Is it geography, history, science, and nature, entertainment? In the original version of Trivial Pursuit, which category is represented by the color green? Is it geography, history, science, and nature, entertainment?
Well, in the original, now they've since switched it to science and history, but in the original one, it was for entertainment. The green room is what they based that off of.
You're going with entertainment.
Yes. You said the original, right?
I knew you was wrong. You're wrong. So you're 3 for 2. The answer is Trivial Pursuit is a board game in which winning is determined by a player's ability to answer general knowledge and popular culture questions. The trivia questions are split into 6 different categories, with each category having its own color to identify itself. In the original version of Trivial Pursuit, the categories are geography, blue, entertainment, pink, history, yellow, science and nature, green, and sports and leisure was orange. So you're 3 for 2.
Let's go.
Okay, here's the next one. This is an animal question. What animal has a tongue twice of its body? Is it an aardvark, a chameleon, a pangolin, a snapping turtle? What animal has a tongue twice the length of its body? Is it an aardvark, a chameleon, a pangolin, snapping turtle?
Well, let's think about this question here now. Now, snapping turtle, not so long. Now, an aardvark is, let's go with the chameleon.
Oh my goodness.
You are correct.
Let's go.
While the chameleon's ability to change its color often steals the spotlight, its tongue stands as a marvel frequently overlooked. With lightning fast agility, these lizards can flick their tongues at speeds up to 60 miles per hour in just 1/100th of a second. It feats unmatched by even the fastest cars in the world. Furthermore, their tongue has a considerable edge in surprising unsuspecting prey. To put it in context, it's to a
Did the chameleon get your phone?
All right, let's get to the next question.
Let's go.
I guess you can say history slash military questions. Colonel Naomi Baldwin.
I need to hear you.
To a variety of what fruit which he grew on his land.
Well, I didn't hear the beginning of the quote.
Colonel,
did you read the
Naomi
quote?
I am reading the question. Hush.
What is the second one?
The second one
Let's
is
go. Let's go.
That's what you're going with.
Let's
That's
go.
What you're going with.
Let's go. Let's go. God,
and that's my
it was food. Apple. It was apple. God.
The Baldwin apple revered for its distinctively crisp flavor. For the true place in American history, it is a historical gift.
Is somebody throwing apples at you right now?
Have a particular fondness for the apple, widely contributed to its popularity, renamed the variety in his honor.
Let's go. Let's go.
If you knew it was apple, why the heck you say orange?
Oh, man. Thinking too quick. God damn. Let's go.
Here's the next one. Let's see. This is an awards question.
Let's go.
Which musician has won a record 32 Grammy Awards? Is it Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Quincy Jones, John Williams?
Let's go. Beyonce, let's go.
I want to say, if you get this wrong,
that's my
ex. Should
I
not be
Beyonce.
Your profession.
I dated Beyonce, so you know I'm going to remember that. Hello to your mama.
Yes, you dated Beyonce. It says
Beyonce
holds the record for most Grammy Awards, both the and impressive 32 wins. Her record-setting moment came at the 2023 Grammys when she won Best Dance Slash Electric Music Album for her album Renaissance. Not far behind Beyonce's the late Hungarian-British conductor George Solti, with a total of 31 Grammy wins. Other artists who have taken home numerous Grammy Awards include Quincy Jones with 28, John Williams with 25, and Taylor Swift with 14. Beyonce also has 88 Grammy nominations, tied with her husband Jay-Z as the most nominated artist of all time.
Let's go! What up, Sean? Go.
Okay. Next question. So here's the next question. Artist, now this is art, this is an art question. What artist's most famous work depicts three melting clocks? What artist's most famous work depicts three melting clocks? Is it Claude Monet, Salvador Dali, Edvard Munch, Pablo Picasso? The third one.
Because if you think
you
about it, Picasso, yes. Because Picasso, well, it's the third one.
You said the third one.
Let's go.
It was the second one, Salvador Dali.
Oh, man.
It says, "The Persistence of Memory," painted by Salvador Dali in 1931, stands as one of the most iconic works of surrealism and 20th century art. Set against a dreamlike landscape, this masterpiece depicts a barren stretch of coastline with melting clocks draped over various objects. Dali's meticulous rendering of these melting timepieces suggests a profound exploration of time, memory, and the subconscious mind. Through this surreal composition, Dali invites viewers to contemplate the elusive nature of time and the fluidity of reality. So,
your record, your five for nine. Let's go. Go.
Here we go. Here's the next one. This is a history question. Who was the youngest president in U.S. history? Was it Bill Clinton, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Barack Obama? Who was the youngest president in U.S. history?
Well, so...
You better get that one right.
So the thing about this is... So Hussein... So if we're talking current, it would be Barack Hussein Obama. Now if we're talking current, however... If you go, well, we're going to go with Barack Hussein Obama because I'm going to say we're more so in the current versus the earlier president. So I would say that's Hussein. Thomas Jefferson. God damn.
It says, following the assassination of President McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, age 42, became the youngest president in the nation's history. Roosevelt brought a new vision to the presidency as he vigorously led Congress and the American public toward progressive reforms and a bold foreign policy agenda. He was reelected to a full term in office 3 years later. Other notable youthful presidents as their inauguration include Kennedy, inaugurated at 43, Bill Clinton at 46, Ulysses S. Grant at 46, Barack Obama at 47. But no, Theodore was the youngest.
Oh, you said youngest. Oh, man.
What?
Youngest, okay. Yeah, so old Rosie.
You didn't know.
Yeah, so old Rosie would have... Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
So your record, you are at 5 for 10 now. So that means you only got 5 right out of 10.
Well, that's passing. All right.
What game show? This is a gaming question.
What game show was hosted
by Monty Hall for over 30 years? Was it Hollywood Squares, Name That Tune, Let's Make a Deal, The Price is Right?
Let's make a deal.
I said, if you got that wrong,
stop
watching TV.
Go. Now, look, if y'all want to...
Let me read the answer to the question. Monty Hall, an iconic figure in television history, served as the charismatic host of the beloved game show Let's Make a Deal for an astounding 3 decades. Audience members dressed up in outlandish outfits to attract the attention of Hall, who offered trades for cash and prizes with his infectious energy and trademark wit. Hall captivated audiences from 1963 to 1991, making the show a staple of daytime television. The show's innovative format of trading prizes behind mystery doors turned Let's Make a Deal into a cultural phenomenon. So you're your record.
Thank you.
So you're now 6 for 11. So that means you got 11. You got 6 out of 11 correct.
Let's go.
We're going to do one more because time is winding down for us and we got to end the show.
Now, if you all want to watch TV with six eyes, I have a great lineup of shows. Now
we're in the music category.
Let's go.
Which band named itself after a 1963 Italian film starring Boris Karloff? Black Sabbath, Metallica, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses. Which band named itself after a 1963 Italian film starring Boris Karloff? Is it Black Sabbath, Metallica, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses?
Led Zeppelin, let's go. Let's go.
Me, Led Zeppelin.
Let's go.
Okay, you going with Led Zeppelin?
Go.
It was Black Sabbath. So now you're what? 6 for 12.
Fuck.
90 seconds.
Yeah. 50%.
Well,
so Black Sabbath
right.
were an English rock band formed by Tom Iommi, Geezer Butler, Bill Ward, and frontman Ozzy Osbourne in 1969. They had named themselves Black Sabbath after their film Black Sabbath starring Boris Karloff and began incorporating occult themes with horror-inspired lyrics.
60 seconds.
And turned down guitars. Black Sabbath are often cited as pioneers of heavy metal music. The band helped define the genre with releases such as Black Sabbath 1970, Paranoid 1970, and Master of Reality 1971. They were ranked by MTV as the greatest metal band of all time and have sold over 70 million records worldwide.
Let's go.
So,
make sure you join Six Eyes Radio Network group on Facebook. Facebook group, Six Eyes Radio Network. Join it now, America. Thank you.
So you split. You're split.
Let's go.
10 seconds.
So you're split. You're 6 for, we did 12. You got 6 out of 12, so you're split. You did better than last time.
Go.
You did better than last time. So I want to say we appreciate y'all for joining us for Six and Road as always. Keep joining us. We'll be here next Tuesday with another great show of Six and Road and Six trying to win these, trying to do trivia and see how good he is. On the next show on Six Eyes Radio, that is Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Children's Bible Study with Missionary Ken. And the station number is 6.
No, it's not 6. It's 515-605-9340.
I was saying your name for you to tell them the number. And at 7 p.m. on the station, we have the Adult Bible Study, also with Missionary Ken. And if you want to join that, the number to join is 424-243-9617. That is 424-243-9617. And Tonight, as I told you earlier, I'll be on the air for the Indie Experience. See you another one of us in Indie Music. That's at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can tune me on while you're getting ready to go to bed, because I know you got to go to work in the morning, or if you have a day off, you can just listen to it until you fall asleep. And that is at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't know how I'm flowing with the music, so it's going to be great music. And we will see you next week. We appreciate you as always. Peace, one love, everybody.
Good night, America.
Night.